This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
There are four, no, there are five, by the way, large, unmarked, and unopened plastic bags of tortilla chips in the station kitchen area. Their origin and time of arrival is unknown.
Sports Talk Saturday.
If you've never smoked and you've only tried one maybe spoiled bag of tortilla chips, you might only pay $20 a month for health insurance.
On WGR.
Be like Lou. He's on bag number two.
Sports Radio 550.
This isn't where I park my car. Fan, what is this? It feels good to be back where I belong.
Good to have you back.
It's a Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer here with you. Joe Kelly in that chair across from me.
First time together in a
first
while.
First time together in 4 weeks.
Yes.
4 weeks. That's kind of wild.
Yeah. Has it been Sabres games that have kind of been thrown in?
Sabres games. And then the best one being Nate.
Oh, at Batavia Downs.
At Batavia Downs.
Yeah.
But I was not told until that Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were fully planning.
I was ready to go.
I remember you called me. You're like, hey, guess what?
Hey, guess what?
We don't have a show.
At 10 o'clock on a Friday morning, I find out, hey, you're not coming in for the show 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, what? Okay. all right. I could tell anyone that I was trying to book, hey, never mind. Nate's got it. So that was fun.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it's been Sabres games.
It's been Sabres games.
It's been Sabres games 1 hour. And I'm happy that TJ got to jump in here last
week. Yeah, it was fun
week.
Last week talking to TJ.
It was good to have him there. Josh did a pretty good job a couple weeks ago with it as well. And now we're back. We're back for the chaos, for the laughs, and for a good time.
The blender.
We're in the blender. Let's go. But there's also a new energy here for me. Like, the Sabres, they look good. They look promising. The Bills against the Chiefs. How's everyone feeling about that? We've got a real, I don't want to call it a gut check show.
Yeah, it is almost, though.
It's almost going to be a bit of a gut check show.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that because it is Chiefs week, but it doesn't feel like Chiefs weeks have in the past, I will say that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
And we'll talk plenty more about that with all of you. Joe Yurden at noon.
Mm-hmm. That'll be good.
You know that when I'm back, I got to get someone from the old reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone knows, if you don't know the meme of that sort of thing. Like, for me, it's Joe Yurden and Bruce Nolan. But like, it's SpongeBob reaching out for old reliable, flipping it open, and it's Joe Yurden or Bruce Nolan.
Yes.
That's what it is. So I had to go grab old reliable there for Joe Yurden to join us at noon. However, I will say, last night was one of the most peaceful nights for me in a while. I'm prepping for the show, doing what I want to do. And, of course, part of that prep is going to be, I've got to be online a little bit.
Hmm.
And have you ever watched something and been more disappointed, even though you knew there was an opportunity to be disappointed?
Every time the Bills and Sabres play.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
However, I think there is something that people, you went into it And you got disappointed. I'm glad I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching it with my dad last night.
Now, what am I talking about?
This. This is what it looked like on my TV, at least. I think I did. I threw a tweet up, and I was staring at a 25% circle for like 20 minutes. Like thinking it was going to do something, you know? So, you know.
Yeah, so here's the thing. First of all, I love that I did this today.
Yes.
I was like, give me Mike Tyson punch out. Because now here's what we're going to do. For the opening bant today, Zach Penkew from our sister station at WBEN, he, like you, watched this fight yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've managed to get enough opinion from the two of you to know that, wow, A, I really missed a tire fire. But two, I'm still so much better for it. And sadly, number three, this country is in shambles. We as a society are so doomed.
Yeah, we are doomed. after that.
I wish I never saw that. I lost so much sleep to stay up for that, only for the stream to crash throughout majority of the broadcast for me.
Also, welcome to your Sports Talk Saturday debut here, Zach.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so that Zach Penkew of our sister station, WBEN, does a lot with the reporting and anchoring over there.
Yes.
And he's a good friend of ours. So, Zach, Joe, you guys watch this thing, and the first thing that each of you has been telling me, though, is the quality of the broadcast is basically less quality than the music that we're hearing from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for the NES.
Yes, until he turned around and full moon the camera. Then it was crystal clear for
Did
a few seconds.
Did your stream freeze on it too?
No, it didn't freeze on it. Mine, I got that entire thing.
Mine froze on it for a solid like 30 seconds. Mm. That was impressive.
That's something if you're watching it in your room as a kid. Parent walks in, you've got some explaining to do. Mike Tyson frozen, turned around on your phone.
Yeah, at like midnight?
Yes. Yeah, it was outrageous. I mean, the fights previous
There's
were actually
too many questions.
It's just, I don't know. It was frustrating to watch. I was hoping it wouldn't do it. They would somehow make a tweak that it wouldn't happen during the actual main event, right? Still happened to me during the main event sometimes.
I have something for you two, as well as anyone else that watched
Yes.
that fight last night. And I'm using the term fight very liberally here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ready? Anytime I do this, Joe knows that something stupid's going to happen.
Yeah. Get ready.
I suppose I deserve that.
You fools! The rigged fight was rigged?
Oh
no!
Listen, you knew if you were self-respecting
human
being.
What are we doing as a? We used to be a country, a proper country, and people now are watching a 58-year-old man who is indeed showing that he is 58.
Yeah, his legs were not there.
On the off chance that he goes off script and punches someone that everyone wants to see get punched.
I had
like it's just shame on all of you.
I don't know what I was expecting when I watched it, right? Because in my heart, I felt like Tyson was going to win just from every fight that I've seen of his. But logically, I knew it was going to be Jake. There was just no other way around that. Tyson is an older man. He does not have the same energy or stamina that he had 30 years ago.
I mean, the fact that he made it 8 2-minute rounds is pretty impressive in itself.
The fact he stood his ground for all 8 rounds, impressive. Mm-hmm. You cannot ignore that.
Yeah.
But this is kind of a loss situation for Jake, right? Either he loses the fight and admits that he lost to a guy 30 plus years older than him, or you're known as the guy who beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, who's next? Joe Biden?
Oh.
That's where I'm at. Can he fight a contender? Like, that's what I want to know. But
yeah, but the,
the fights previous, though, were actually very good.
So here's the thing, ready? Jake Paul, from everything I've seen at this point, has the talent of scheduling opponents that he knows he can defeat.
Mm-hmm. Fury.
Minus Fury.
The one he lost to.
The actual fighter of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. that was his age. It screams later day Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather famously or infamously did not box Manny Pacquiao until he couldn't do it as well anymore.
Yeah.
And it was probably one of the biggest downsides to boxing in its decline of popularity. So now you get a guy that everyone wants to see get clocked by Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And that hatred makes people watch it. So he's kind of a genius in that way.
Oh, he's a master marketer. Like, he is a self-made marketer, and he shows it.
He is one of the only few people that has found a way to monetize the hatred for him and his brother. It's impressive. I've never seen anything like that as far as, you know, these YouTubers or social media celebrities.
Yeah, he's totally taking advantage of how people feel about him in a big way. So, it's just... It's tough. Like, I watched it knowing it was most likely going to be rigged. You see the moment where you're like, Okay, it's rigged. Mike Tyson does get a good left hand in there, and then he throws seven punches.
But now here's
the next round.
Here's the bigger problem.
Tyson had the deadliest hooks around. There was no match for that.
There was no match of his power.
The last thing to
in
go
his prime,
is power.
The power of Mike Tyson is unrivaled.
He still had the power. If you look at all the training videos 4 years ago, Roy Jones Jr., that bout, I know it was 4 years ago. There was a clear, like, okay, I'm going to hold back in this so I can get the bag. Like, that's what that was, 100%.
Yeah, and so here's the other thing. An unknown side effect of this entire fight and stream is if I'm an NFL executive, I am terrified of a month from now.
Yeah, when they're on Christmas.
They're on Christmas, and I will tell you this right now. The NFL brand is always going to be stronger than the desire to see Jake Paul get punched in the face.
I would be surprised.
The NFL's a cult. We all follow it, and people will be watching on Christmas Day. Everyone will be watching. If Netflix could not handle...
I think everybody was watching last night, though. That was a worldwide event.
Yeah, but there's no excuse for that still.
No. I'm not saying there's an excuse for it. I'm saying I think, like, the NFL, yeah, it's a worldwide thing now, but I think there were more people watching. I saw so many tweets, like, I stayed up till 6:30 in the morning for this. I'm like, buddy, you're on the other side of the planet. You know? Like, I think this... It's tough because you had fighters in the early cards, right? From Ireland, from Puerto Rico, right? Like, from Mexico.
Was the actual card before the fight good?
Yes.
Enjoyable.
The female one and the male bout. Not the first one. That was a joke. The first one. You got the...
Mario Boros?
Yeah. Whatever the early one was. Like, the first one to kick it off.
Yeah.
It was just not...
Couldn't remember their names.
No, he got three good punches and then he was fatigued. He couldn't finish them. And it was just they carried it the entire way. But the female one, though, with Taylor and what's her name? Serrano. Taylor and Serrano. Serrano gets headbutted by Taylor, busts open her upper eye.
I saw a picture of that.
She continued the fight.
What'd you say?
She got headbutted a few
times. Yeah, because Taylor kept leading with her head. And, like, even when she was clinching, which happened frequently.
And at some point, she's trying to close in if you're moving forward with your head like that.
Yes, she was a southpaw, though.
It's a bonk.
So they were on up, like, instead of...
Well, that's exactly that. That's a great point you're bringing up.
Yeah.
Many people are trying to say that she was fighting dirty. I don't think that it was intentional the entire fight. Sure, there were some instances where she was leaning with her head, but they have opposite stances. You have a southpaw fighting in the ring.
Yep. So they're matched up opposite. So when they lean in, they're going to meet right on the corner of their eyebrows.
Yes. That gash was horrible.
And it kept getting bigger.
I saw a picture of that.
It was flapping. That was a good fight, though.
I was online enough to know that, like, it's a shame that a couple of these fights are going to be tied to this.
Yeah, right. And but they're going to rematch, I think, those two.
Well, that would be good for the sport itself. Mm-hmm. To have a fight outside of the crap show.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to pull my punches.
Right. Yeah.
And not get fined. That was, from everything I saw, the broadcast was terrible. So if I'm watching on Christmas Day, I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm an NFL executive. And as a society, we have now failed. Because
expecting anything from Jake Paul fighting Mike Tyson.
Expecting anything to be real from a scenario that was clearly cooked from the beginning, the moment that the match was booked.
The one thing that I was hoping for was...
Can I ever say that to Mike Tyson's face?
No.
I will be in a tombstone. I will be
You'll
under
be Zach
a tombstone.
Galifianakis in The Hangover, singing In the Air Tonight and then eating the floor. That's what's going to happen.
I'm taking a nap or a dirt nap if I say that in the presence of Mike Tyson.
Yes.
I already know that. That said, I'm genuinely, I'm not disappointed in him. I am disappointed in us as a society.
Right. Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
The one thing I was, the only thing I was looking at least into and forward to was Mike getting in there, seeing red, and just saying, you know what, this script, I don't care. I'm going to beat him. Like, just
That's
like
the problem.
Floor
you
him,
had
you know?
Hope.
There, it was hope for that, though.
You are a Bills fan. You should know hope does not exist.
I mean, I was raised in the draft, or the drought. So, I mean,
you're dealing with another one with the Sabres.
Right.
You should know, you of all people living in the Buffalo region should know that hope
Watch
does not
too
exist.
Many Rocky movies, man. Getting up off the floor, beating the count, all that, you know? But. I don't know. It's an interesting social experiment, but if Netflix or any other streaming service actually just continued to take on heavyweight fights, like real ones, like how the cards before were,
yeah.
I'd be all in on watching that all the time.
Listen,
if they could fix the stream.
If Netflix is going to continue doing this, mm-hmm. they need to iron out a lot of the problems that made itself known last night. The servers, massive issue. There is no excuse not to have servers that are able to handle the quantity of people watching that they should have anticipated.
They're also the biggest streaming service. There is no excuse.
The broadcast itself, there were so many issues with that. I would be surprised if not a single person got fired that night. Hot miking at random times.
Jerry Jones lost his microphone in an interview.
Yep.
They had to switch with Michael Irvin.
And
like it was just
I couldn't remember the one guy's name, but his headset died and he couldn't hear anything.
Yep.
He couldn't hear the lady three seats over to him asking the questions. So they had the other guy in the interview asking the question for him, and they wouldn't even let him ask it. They kept cutting him off.
Yep.
That is horrible broadcasting.
Yeah, they got it right for the butt shot though. So
they got it right for the butt shot.
Except for you. Yours froze on
and now,
it. You got a freeze frame.
This is going to be the strangest thing that I will have ever done. Taking calls about a fight that I didn't watch, and I knew that I didn't have to watch. And talking about a fight that I didn't have to watch. But it's time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Steve in Tonawanda. Steve, good morning. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. I feel like I need to run through a wall like the Kool-Aid man because I'm disappointed.
You couldn't be more right, and we could probably talk about this fight for 28 hours straight and still not iron everything out. Couple takeaways. I have no idea where they came up with Cedric the Entertainer and Rosie Perez for commentators. They added absolutely nothing. They just agreed with whatever everyone else said. Just a waste of time. Didn't get to bed till 1 in the morning staying up for that show, and I just don't know how Mike Tyson didn't bite a hole through his glove from him biting it every 2 seconds during the fight. Unbelievable. Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
You know, Steve, thank you. I appreciate that.
Apparently, that's a real fixation. Roy Jones Jr. and whoever was commentating were actually about to get in an argument
they
on
were.
The broadcast about it. So, because Roy Jones Jr. is like, I don't like that mouth guard falling out. And the announcer's like, he's done this. Like that's historically Mike Tyson bites his gloves. He's got a biting
Maria
fixation.
Perez saying, oh, I wonder if that's going to obstruct his breathing.
It's just it was.
Listen, the commentators were something.
WWE commentator, and yeah, he was loud and he had good verbiage. He used a lot of SAT words in describing
SAT
things.
Words. I think,
but like he had no technical terms for what was happening at all.
They call Maria Perez the first lady of boxing. Listen, you could watch boxing all you want. You could call yourself an expert on it. That doesn't mean you are good about talking about it.
Right.
And that was everything she said was meaningless information that could have been applied to any point of the fight.
Yeah.
It was not relevant.
Or it was wrong. I mean,
anyone on this station is meaningless talking.
Yeah, pretty much.
There we go.
Average tweeter.
Average GR Weiner line call there.
Yeah. No, here's the thing, though. She specifically, I was talking with my dad. He's a fighter, right? He wasn't like fully professional, but he had a lot going on. Power's your last thing to go. That's one thing. Like Mike Tyson, you saw in those videos. Yeah, if he could plant his feet, he still had the power of Iron Mike. She's like, power's the first thing to go on the broadcast. I'm like thinking to myself, that's just like not correct in a way. You know what I mean? Like.
Your agility is typically in the
You
the
saw
human body,
his agility. He had noodle legs because his feet are so messed up. He couldn't get his feet down beneath them.
Yeah.
But
your agility and reflexes, just being a human being.
Yes.
I know that I'm slower.
Right.
That does not mean I have to be weaker.
But if you could plant and turn your hips and he was still strong as a bull, that power didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just his footing was gone, so he lost all of that. But power's not the first thing to go. She said that. I was like, okay, what's going on here?
The only thing I'll say relatable to that is, like, you know, when I play hockey, mm-hmm. I am slower as a skater now.
Yeah.
But what I can do is I could still put my shoulder down, extend the stick out, and bowl my way to the net.
Right.
Because I still have that strength.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, the strength is not going to go before the agility and the quickness. Not that I'm good at this, to be fair. But the speed is usually the first thing you start to see slow down in any professional sport.
Mm-hmm.
Can you adapt to it is what makes the great ones great.
Yeah.
And that's in any sport. So...
Cars 3 plot as well.
So, I... Yeah, exactly.
He gets old and he's got to adapt.
They weren't talking about his strength. They were talking about his speed.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I come back for the first time in 4 weeks, and this is what we have to start the show with.
Come on. It's a good start. Ka-chow.
I'm going to go eat a stale donut now.
Yeah, I think there's some left out there. Oh, get the crunch of the stale donut, but the mush of the stale chips on top of the donut.
Why?
You know
why? Let me tell you, everyone here, a nice little behind the scenes thing here, mm-hmm. and it's going to be very much in front of the scenes in like
3 seconds.
Not 3 seconds, but like in due time.
Mm-hmm.
We have cameras installed here now, and we will be like beginning to show our faces. This is a moment. I guess I wish that it was there. Because there was a very visual reaction that I had to him talking about that donut outside. You want to talk about disappointment, by the way? Let's talk disappointment.
Okay.
I didn't get disappointed by watching that fight last night, but I feel like the same sense would happen if you open a box of donuts and it is the same bleeping donut in every box. There were 8 of them here yesterday, and you guys saw me in the newsroom moment after moment. I kept opening a box, and I was expecting something different, and it was the same 6 donuts. 6 because nobody was eating them.
It's like the Sabres 13 years ago to now.
Listen, those
like you go into you go to look in your empty fridge for food, and there's no food there. That's basically what happened to me yesterday, where I'm opening a donut box, hoping for anything that's actually like a different donut, and it's the same thing looking at me, and I started getting irritated.
To be fair, those donuts probably would be good within the first 20 minutes of them being made. Those are not...
If I were to try one of them right now...
No.
It's a mistake of a lifetime.
Yes. Our own Trevor Hauer had one fresh as soon as they came in yesterday, because we were here early in the morning. I heard the crunch of the chips and the pretzels for the first time ever, and the donut was soft. I'm like, dude, you just got the absolute best bite.
But like...
I would never, I personally,
look, if you're gonna, I gag if you're gonna order, because everything was just a mushy mess on
top. Yeah, it's gross. If you're gonna
order something for the entire office, there has to be variety.
Yes.
Like if you get pizza with mushrooms on it for the entire office, there are gonna be people that are gonna be upset with you.
I would say more than upset. I'd say
actually,
your job is on the line.
Yes.
Yeah, HR might get involved.
But that's what happened here to a lesser extent with donuts. Mm-hmm. They were all the same donut. There were 8 boxes of them here.
Why do you think there were so many of them left over?
Because they're the same thing. There's no variety.
That being said, though, they did.
So I'm going with whoever here ordered the donuts, I am disappointed in you.
I won't go that far because I think I know who did, but I don't want to single.
We won't say names. I don't know who did it. But I'm not disappointed. I'm clearly irritated. But it's going to make for some content, so good job, too.
Mm-hmm. What a start. What a start at Mike Tyson with a...
Have it go to break. This is WGR.
Judge David Iacobucci sees the contest 80-72. While judges Lawrence Cole and Jesse Reyes see it 79-73, declaring your winner by unanimous decision, Jay!
That was the worst ring walk I've ever seen, by the way. Ride, I should say. The dumb lowrider to in the air tonight.
I hate everything that we are as a people. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, and having to talk about Jake Paul.
Do you know what El Gallo means? His name, his stage name?
No.
The Fighting Rooster of Dorado. Rooster equals chicken.
I am a Bills and Sabres fan, and yet I found a new angle to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Like,
I can feel it coming. He came out to end the air tonight. That's why he did for Tyson and the Hangover.
I did everything in my power to avoid it last night, and I still had to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's the business that I live in, and that's perfectly fine that I have to acknowledge that. But to be disappointed in a completely different way, as a Bills and Sabres fan.
The epitome of disappointment at different points in history, currently for the
to
Sabres.
To realize how doomed we are as a people. Like, saw a video like last night, like the Hawk Tua girls dancing like Elaine and Seinfeld. Jake Paul wins a fight against 58-year-old Mike Tyson. What are we used to be a proper country.
What is going on? It's my Jerry Seinfeld impression. Love that show. She was dancing like Elaine from Seinfeld, though. I saw it.
It's terrible.
It was bad.
And it's like, how did we let that get famous? Son of a...
Well, did you see they're already...
I do stupid things here, weekly. I don't get paid money for being dumb.
No. You know, this dumb stuff might happen again, too, because at the end of it, Mike Tyson goes, Logan, you're next. And then Logan Paul goes, I'll kill you, Mike. I'm like, stick to the WWE, brother.
Can we just, like... I don't know, man. I don't want to say something that goes too far, but the Paul brothers are amongst the dregs of society, and they're rich.
Yeah.
Well, we did something wrong. Capitalism failed. Let's hit the reset button.
Something is not right.
Let's hit the reset button. Give us swords and shields all over again. We got to reset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lords, we did it wrong.
Lords and ladies, here we
go.
Here we go.
We did it wrong, and we got to hit a reset. Like, we didn't do it correctly. This is what happened.
Did you see the Shaq and Gronk crossover last night?
No.
Oh,
I didn't see any of this.
I thought you would have seen that on social media.
No.
Apparently, they're going to get in a fight next, they said. Shaq made Gronk look small, by the way. Like,
that's
standing
Shaq
next
does.
To him, it's crazy.
It's Shaquille O'Neal.
But
of course he's going to make everyone look small.
They were interviewed. Shaq was being interviewed, and then he's like, oh, look at my buddy Gronk here. And then they got up, and they're like, we're going to have like other professional athletes start fighting each other. And I'm like, oh, God. Please, let's not start doing that. Let's let boxers be boxers and actually have like heavyweight bouts how they're used to be.
Everybody heard me say reset button, right?
Yeah, right. I think the reset button's just getting to look more and more like a big red button. So it's getting out there.
Oh my God. I'm so mad that I can't start my show properly now. I'm so upset about the fact that this is such a thing that we had to talk about it because I wanted to laugh at the disaster that the broadcast was, apparently.
Oh, we still can.
And the thing is that we still can.
But there was just another disaster on top of it.
But at the same time, like, they win in the end because we're talking about it. And that's my problem. But I don't know what to do. So, all right, we got to try to move things along here. We got Bills. We got important things to talk about.
We do.
Like the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres.
Yes.
They are actually important, especially compared to the Paul brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're, first of all, get in line. Sabres on the warpath. Let's go. You watched that fight yesterday? I've got something that could be far more disappointing for you, baby. It's called Buffalo Sabres hockey.
Yes. The highs and lows, man.
The highs and lows.
The highs and
the
lows.
The highs and the lows of the Buffalo Sabres.
The consistently inconsistent. That's one thing you can count
on. They currently are looking like the greatest show on ice, though.
Currently.
They are. Are you ready?
They will until they have to win more than three games in a row. That fourth game, they'll drop.
They're eighth in scoring.
Yeah.
This team that has missed Tage Thompson now for a couple games, that has missed J.J. Paterka for a couple games, and does not have a bona fide star outside of those two, has 59 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth in the East, eighth overall. They are wild.
Yeah. Like
as
you said,
wild as wild gets.
They're back to 2 years ago, except actually putting a lot more together elsewhere. But they're still playing fast.
The worst part is they're 2 years ago without the power play at the rate that it was going.
Yes.
2 years ago, that power play was unconscious.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're kind of finding their legs there a little bit, and they're moving around, and it's actually like getting more fun to watch the power play again.
Mm-hmm.
It was a slow start for them on the power play.
Well, they started
dreadfully. 0 for 31.
Yeah, they started playing like Jeff Skinner wasn't on it anymore, finally.
So they started moving around and actually were able to use the bumper a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the problem is they didn't use the bumper.
Not
Skinner
at all.
Was playing the bumper and they didn't use it.
No. Yeah, exactly. That's why I said they finally started
but then
playing
when
like he wasn't on the team now.
But when
like,
he had the puck, he did not make good decisions with the extra man.
Right.
But the thing is that the Sabres, and here's the real reason for some sort of like foolish bit of hope. The rest of the Atlantic is bleh. And the Sabres are too. And that brings me to the question today. And anyone can call in with it. 803-0550 is the number to call. 1-888-552-550. Still works as a number, by the way. Toll free.
Does it?
Yeah.
Do we get tolled?
I don't think
for,
so.
For like calling the actual number?
I don't know.
Is that just like an international?
I don't know, but it still works.
Number? Okay.
So 716-803-0550 is the number to call. Or if you're still looking to make sure you're toll-free, you could use 1-888-552-550. Yeah.
Get the dial-up, man.
Yeah, baby. So, Sabres, though. Are they a playoff team? I say yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I say yes.
Oh, yeah, like they're guaranteed, but no.
I mean, yes, but there's reasons for that optimism. I do believe they have themselves a chance. By the way, they're fifth in the Eastern Conference, eighth in the league with goals. Goals for. I had said fourth. I was wrong.
Hmm.
But the Sabres.
That changes everything.
Yeah, I know, right? Death to the narrative. But the thing is that the Sabres are showing a little bit more of that promise, and they are kind of copying two seasons ago of this. I don't care if we lose this game 7-5. You're going to have. Like, there's going to be goals.
Yeah.
And that's what happened against Montreal. It was 7-5. You shouldn't have given up 7 to the Montreal Canadiens. Let's be real about that. As a matter of fact, they overtook Detroit for second last in the Eastern Conference in goals for because of that game. That said, you're going to be an exciting hockey team. And entertainment dollar, win or lose, the Buffalo Sabres are keeping you glued to the television no matter what until the end of every game. Europe excluded. They have been in it and wildly chaotic. And they are super fun right now. But why do I think they're a playoff team? I've got three reasons for you. And it's not the reasons that you think. Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, Bowen Byram.
Yeah.
I've noticed a really fun thing, and we'll talk to Joe Yurden about this, and I'm going to really kind of pick his brain on this. When they're in critical situations, you start to notice he shrinks that defensive bench and rotates the three of them almost every other shift. And then you'll see Jacob Bryson, Connor Clifton get there every third like usual. But whoever your six is typically gets stapled to the bench.
Right.
Like at the end of games, you were seeing Samuelson not playing as often. You were seeing Bryson or Clifton not playing as often. Or you were seeing Dennis Gilbert not playing as often in the tight situations. Because Lindy Ruff knows that he has three young, talented, good defensemen. And he is bringing them in saying, eat the minutes, dominate.
Yep. He's utilizing them to their full
potential.
You're
still kids. I can do this. You have a day off tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's something that he did.
Child labor, man. Child labor on the defense.
But I remember heading into the Montreal game, the practice before that, Dahlin and Byram straight up just had a maintenance day because Lindy worked them.
Oh, yeah.
To end the game. And it's impressive to see, though, that they are responding well to that challenge. Like, they gave every minute that they could to Dahlin, Power, and Byram at the end of the Calgary game. And it worked. They held on. They got themselves. This is why they're a playoff team. They're finding ways to get points. And even stealing them when they don't deserve it. Against Pittsburgh, when they went to overtime, that was a disappointment. You surrendered a point. You had a 3-0 lead. You had traced Tristan Jarry out of the net already. Like, it was already like, okay, bombs away. But then you lost that game 6-5 in overtime. They did manage to keep things going. And now you see, though, in two of the last three games, they find a way. That's a big deal. They find a way.
Yeah, they're finding ways to win where before they weren't doing that.
They were starting that collapse against Calgary.
Yeah.
They held in. They get to the shootout. Survive.
Right.
To the shootout. UPL had a fantastic day that day.
Oh, he did.
You were getting the saves. That's why he was the third star of the week. It was those two games against Ottawa and New York and then Calgary. He gave up 4 goals in 3 games. But he had to dance on his head late in that game against Calgary and in overtime. And you find a way to win. JJ gets the lone goal in the shootout. UPL stonewalls the Flames all the way through. Against Montreal, you lost a winnable game. But then you have to head into St. Louis. No Tage, no UPL. You're down 3-2. You're scraping and clawing to get yourself back. And the one thing that you do is you overcome the adversity. You get a goal to tie it at 3-3. Dylan Cousins scores. Great. They get called for goaltender interference. And last year, and even 2 seasons ago, that deflates them. Years passed, all throughout the drought, I could tell you of this moment, and the team breaks. Here, they did not. Against St. Louis, they did not. They kept fighting, they kept playing, they kept shooting, and they were rewarded. And then the smart play, holding on to the puck so that you could start overtime with the biggest advantage for as long as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Because 4-on-3 in overtime, penalty kill, you're typically not taking chances.
No, you're not.
You are sitting there in a defensive-focused triangle, desperately trying to avoid the cross-ice pass.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens? JJ takes it, skates it up. They had a change. Rasmus Dahlin on the wing. Bang. You stole a point in a game that it was not looking your way. And you got 2 points. You win this game against Philadelphia today. Suddenly the conversation is, hey, you won 5 of your last 6. Mm-hmm. You're putting wins together again.
Yeah. You're not going win, loss, win, loss, win, loss like last season. And you're looking at it, there's, like you said, scraping a point out from these games, right? That needs to be the consistent thing they need to do. Scrape out 1-point games. Don't take 0 points.
Don't take 0 points. That was something last year's team could not do.
Yes, for the life of them, they couldn't take a game to overtime, even when
couldn't
it was close.
It.
They gave up. It looked like the Montreal game.
Ready?
The last minute, 2 goals
here
go
are
in.
Their next 4. So you got Philadelphia tonight, Los Angeles Kings, who you played really well to open the season, but they are second in the Pacific Division.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look out.
You never know. That.
Anaheim and San Jose. Now, all of these are on the road. They are better at home than they have been on the road this year. But that said, 3 of these are very winnable games. You better beat the Rubik's Cube that stonewalled you last year in Anaheim. You better beat the Sharks. But go ahead and try to get some more wins here against Philadelphia and against Los Angeles. It's a big deal. By the way, coming in for today's game for Philadelphia, but it's Devin Levi will start again.
Yes, he will.
UPL's not fully back yet. And Yuri Kulik, who was recalled, everyone kind of saw it as a sign of Jordan Greenway is probably not going to play today, and that is indeed the case. Greenway out, Kulik in.
You know what's crazy about Greenway? He's been one of the better players on the ice this season. Very consistent.
Their third line is very good this year.
Yes.
Greenway does not have the point production, but he does have the possession metrics.
Yes. And it's not all in the points with him.
And what a good job it's been, the acquisitions of Ryan McLeod and Jason Zucker.
Seriously.
And that is something we will talk plenty more about. Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next year.
This segment went by fast. Love a good Sabres talk when there's a lot to talk about.
And we've got a lot to talk about with them. Joe Yurden will join us at noon. And then we've also got plenty of time for Bills as well. If you want to get in on either of these teams, 803-0550 is the number to call. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, we're running it here again. Sports Talk Saturday on your radio, your phone, or your headphones, wherever you are. This is WGR. We already did this in the first segment.
Believe it or not. But we didn't have the music with it.
Believe it or not.
We had the right music for the situation.
The system that this music is affiliated with had better graphics than the stream last night.
That was good.
And it's still not great by any means on today's standards. But
I would have rather watched Wii Boxing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I need to find Matt.
Matt, the final guy.
Yep.
With the goatee.
Yep.
Bald.
Bald Matt.
He just...
Matt.
Used to light you up as a kid.
Everyone knows a Matt that frustrates him.
I don't know if
I do. One of my closest friends is named Matt.
Mm.
One of my other good friends is named Matt. I know too many Matts. Matt. Matt.
it says Matt. Like, that's it. That's his only description.
So...
There's a wiki fandom with lore. I'm going to have to look into this.
Yeah, I'm interested there. But okay.
Yeah, no, anyway. The Booty Cheek of the Week.
Booty Cheek of the Week. Let's get this quick because, yeah, Netflix is absolutely it for this one.
For selling on this stream so bad. I mean, Amazon Prime doing Thursday Night Football for the first time got blurry sometimes. It was never that bad.
Yes.
Never that bad.
Netflix might have bitten off more than they could chew, and now they have an NFL game on Christmas Day that... If it fails, the NFL will make sure they never have anything else stream majorly in any sport ever again.
Yeah, no, there will be no live major streaming events on Netflix ever again. If they mess...
Because the NFL will demand blood.
Yeah, if they don't learn from this, change whatever they have to change for the next one.
You have 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And change.
Is it going to be a separate crew?
I would hope so. But that is not for us to determine.
No.
Also, this segment we wanted to get in and out because we did this for 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm. We did.
And we got to get to Joe Yurden. We talked to the Noted Jerk coming up next so we get some Sabres back into our lives here as they've been promising and, dare I say, even a playoff team. We'll get Joe's opinion on that and plenty more. Coming up on the other side here, Sports Talk Saturday rolls on right here on WGR.